Snow, heavy snow, began to fall in the London streets one January morning in the mid-19th century. Snow so heavy that even in that era when people were accustomed to rise and go to church, a lot of folks slept in. But not one 15-year-old boy who had resolved over the Christmas holidays he was going to find out the answer, is God really relevant for my life? Is the reality of God really something I can access? The snow so clogged the streets he couldn't go to the church he intended to go to, so he wandered down a little lane to a primitive Methodist church, which had even fewer members than it normally did. A very sparse crowd. The regular minister was prevented by the snow from getting there. So one of the elders decided he didn't want people to feel like they'd wasted their time, so he decided to deliver the sermon. The 15-year-old, with that graciousness endemic to teenagers in evaluating the old, said he was a simple man, a stupid man, looking like a tailor or a cobbler or some common workman. He spoke in a few words, most of which he mispronounced. But he delivered a short sermon on this message: "Look to me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved." The young man said the guy spoke about 10 minutes before he'd reached the end of his tether. He had said everything he knew to say in 10 minutes, and his sermon came to an end. But suddenly he looked at the young man and said, "Young man, you look miserable." Teenager said, "Well, so I was, but I was unaccustomed to having my presence remarked on from the pulpit." But it was a good blow well struck. And then this simple, stupid man looked at him and said, "And you will remain miserable unless you hear and accept my message. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved." Under the challenge of this simple, stupid man, this 15-year-old felt the presence of God and came forth to make a profession of faith. His name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Yes, this simple, stupid man who didn't have the wit or the eloquence to reach anyone outside of his little community touched the heart of one young man who became the most formidable, influential preacher of the 19th century. This simple, stupid man who could reach very few with his words touched the heart of someone who could change the future of thousands. We gather this morning and we look around and we think, "Oh, I wish we had more folks here. I wish we had more resources." We've been thinking throughout this month about how we can improve our faith, how we can challenge our assumptions about God, how we can resolve to feed our soul positive nourishment, how we can wring from the sponge of our spirits the poisons that would inhibit us, how we hold the key to unlocking our spiritual potential. But the truth is, deep down inside, many of us fear God can't really use us individually or collectively. We really fear we can't make much of an impact. Deep down inside, we don't have much confidence that God can take us and mold us and use us. Paul sensed that in his fellowship at Corinth, and he reminded them, "Think about your call. Not many of you were accounted wise. Not many of you were accounted powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose those who are weak to shame the strong. God chose the foolish to shame the wise. God chose those who are lowly and despised to bring to nothing things that are, and to bring into being something that is the body of Christ. We need not worry about our lack of resources or our numbers. If we have confidence that God can knit us together into the body of Christ, then we can make a voice together that touches the ends of the earth. Some years ago, a snowfall hit Charlotte, clogging its roads. I was unable to make it to the office, so I worked in my study and then for amusement turned on an old movie, which many of you will remember. An old Paul Newman movie called Exodus, where Paul Newman was an Israeli officer trying to bring a few hundred Jews to Israel to create the promised land. An American nurse was on board tending to the many sick, and she said to Newman, "How do you think your few hundred Jews are going to establish a homeland in the presence of thousands of British troops?" And Newman asked her, "How many colonists were there at Concord when you fired the shot heard round the world?" Being an American, of course, she didn't know. He answered, 77. 77. When we come into this place, called by God's Spirit, bound together by Christ's strength, we are far more than 77. Sure, we would love to have more resources. Sure, we would love to bring in others who can enlarge the body of Christ. But we have to understand that even in our weakness, even in our foolishness, even in our occasional stupidity and simpleness, God can use us. The day the stupid man preached, the kingdom of God won a great victory. We, with our witness, individually and collectively, can win great victories for God's kingdom. We gather at this table, diverse gifts, diverse callings, diverse perspectives. We gather at this table to claim our identity as the people of God, the body of Christ, the family of believers. We eat this bread, we drink this cup, to remind ourselves that though we might be relatively few in number, we can make a witness that is heard around the world. God can take even the simple, even the few, even the stupid, and make a great impact with the love of Christ. May we claim that truth as we gather around this table on this day.